This is the NBC newsroom. Small town of Cleveland. Sorry, I'm at the printer waiting for the news. Can you call later? Thank you. Copy, boy.
Yes, Mr. Thomas.
What's wrong with the ticker? No news coming in.
No news is good news, Mr. Thomas.
Not for a commentator, it isn't. I've got to get some news someplace.
Well, I'll look out the window, sir. Something may be happening in the street.
Anything will help. Come in.
Good evening, Lowe.
Ah, H.B. Galtenborn. Sit down, H.B. Have you got any news?
News? Now, really, Lowe. Does Macy's sell gimbal?
This is serious, H.B. The ticker has stopped. What can I do for my broadcast?
Tell them to listen to H.B. Galtenborn.
H.B., we commentators should do something about Sunday. Nothing ever happens.
That's true. No international squabbles. There's no news from Washington.
On Sunday, Washington is an empty city.
Yes, everybody's in Missouri for the weekend.
What are we going to do for news? What are we going to use for news anyhow?
Well, perhaps we can rehash some old items. Something on the Greek boat to bring back King George.
Maybe they'll have another boat to bring back Parkiacharkis.
That would be news.
The ticker. Something is coming in.
What is it?
Chad, this is news. It says, tonight, October 6th, the Allen program comes back on the air.
Allen, back on the air?
That's right.
Is he still with Drew Pearson?
No, H.B. This is Fred Allen, the comedian.
The comedian? On the radio?
You look amazed, H.B. What's wrong?
You mean when we go off the air, other people come on?
Of course. Fred Allen is on the air every Sunday night. He has millions of listeners.
Incredible. You say this Allen is not a commentator, and yet people listen to him?
They have no choice, H.B. People have to listen to something when we're not on the air.
What type of program does this Allen attempt?
Well, he has a fine company of artists with him. Al Goodman and his orchestra generally start the program with a big musical opening. Well, H.B., what did you think of that?
Magnificent, Lowell. Now, that was a fine program. Not too long, and yet in excellent taste.
H.B., that was just the beginning.
You mean there's more to come?
Yes. And there's that ticker again.
What does it say?
Mr. Allen's program this season will again present Portland.
But Portland's a large city. How can they bring an entire metropolis to the microphone?
This Portland is a little girl who discusses the week's events with Mr. Allen. You can always tell it's Portland when you hear...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland. Portland, this is a surprise.
It's a surprise to see you, too.
Really, a surprise?
After last year, Mama didn't think you could get back on the radio again.
She didn't, huh? Well, now, look, Alka-Seltzer gets back on the air every year. Anderson gets back. Aspirin gets back. Why shouldn't I get back?
That's what Mama says.
What?
When you get back, people need Alka-Seltzer, Anderson, and Aspirin.
Something tells me you've been listening to the radio all summer.
Yes. There's a new hay fever program on. It has a slogan.
What is the hay fever slogan?
If your nose closes up tonight, how are you going to smell tomorrow?
Never mind tomorrow, Portland. What about tonight? What's new tonight?
The paper says Japanese money has gone down.
Japanese money?
The yen is fairly emerged.
The yen is fairly emerged. That's good. What else is hot?
There's plenty of excitement in Hollywood, everybody's striking.
Oh, I saw that.
I read that Humphrey Bogart looked out of a window yesterday and scared 200 tickets away from Warner Brothers.
Humphrey Bogart. Then the Warner Brothers looked out and scared the life out of Bogart.
There's no excitement in Brooklyn.
No, not anymore. The tree that grows in Brooklyn is a weeping willow. Culture has suffered a death blow.
Culture in Brooklyn?
Yes. I know a lady in Brooklyn who has culture. She's making yogurt out of it.
Well, H.B., how did you like their comedy?
I can't get over that orchestra. It is my opinion, and you can quote me, Lowell, Mr. Goodman's orchestra is the quintessence of symphonic art.
But what about Alan?
Frankly, Lowell, any man who talks for 2 minutes without even quoting one reliable source, it is inconceivable.
There's the ticker again. Say, this is good news. Alan again brings to the air the famous Alan's Alley.
He actually broadcasts from an alley?
Yes, he does.
Lowell, is that sanitary?
Well, the network censor keeps it that way. Every week... Every week, Alan asks his friends in Alan's Alley a vital question.
I wonder what his first question is going to be.
I have it right here. This week, the New York Department of Health sanctioned the selling of horse meat in New York City. The question tonight is, what is your reaction to the sale of horse meat? I wonder what will happen in the alley tonight.
Get back to Allen's Alley, Portland. I wonder how Senator Claghorn... Say, there's a new name on his first shanty, Ajax Cassidy. Let's find out who Cassidy is.
Here, what's on the
tackle?
I'm supposed to be
in
the town. I catch you on three at a time. Oh, how do you do?
I feel fine, Mr. Cassidy. How are you?
Oh, terrible. Ah, my, I'm terrible. I'm a sick man. Some days I don't sleep for three nights at a time. I think I'm getting a chronic carborundum of me sacroibby cat.
Hey, it sounds painful.
Painful? Oh, my, some nights the pain is so bad, I have to put on two men to yell for me. I'm not long for this world.
Tell me, Mr. Cassidy, how do you feel about eating horse meat?
Well, now, it's a funny thing. I think I ate some last night.
Really? Where?
At the policeman's semi-annual beef steak and ball down at Gilhooly's Grotto.
I see.
The committee was Callahan, Mulligan, Houlihan, and Shapiro.
What was Shapiro doing in there?
He's the smiling Irishman. That's his right name. Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me, what happened at the policeman's ball?
Well, after dinner, you see, the ball was progressing in a decent and orderly fashion.
I see.
When all of a sudden a door opened.
Uh-huh.
A fellow sticks in his head.
Uh-huh.
And he yells, three cheers for Neville Chamberlain.
Three cheers for Neville Chamberlain.
Oh, my, was awful. The bedlam broke out with pandemonium. The air was filled with knuckles and bridge work. Picture of Barry Fitzgerald fell off the wall.
Oh, well, this is all mighty exciting, Mr. Cassidy, but what makes you think you ate horse meat at the policeman's beefsteak?
Well, before the dinner, 20 mounted cops galloped up to the bar.
And after dinner?
The 20 mounted cops walked home pedestrians. Good luck.
That's proof enough for me. Let's try this next door.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, say, your clothes are dripping there. What's wrong?
Oh, a city fella, give me one of them pins and writes underwater.
Oh.
I've been down in the well writing a letter.
Tell me, did you have a good summer?
Oh, I didn't do nothing. I just flutter ducking around.
You didn't go away?
I went out twice. Once to a gander pulling.
A gander pulling, huh?
Once I went to a circus.
Oh, a circus. What did you see?
Well, I see a giraffe.
A giraffe. What was your reaction?
I doubted it.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about this horse meat business?
I begin it.
Well, why?
I see a fellow one time cook a brewery horse in a beef stew.
Well, how did you know it was a brewery horse?
Beef stew had a head on it.
Well, have you personally ever eaten any horse meat?
You almost did twice.
Really? What was the first time?
Well, I went up to New York to get a new snap put on the garters.
Yes?
I got hungry. I went into a place called the Automat.
Uh-huh.
I see they were selling horse meat, so I come right out.
Now, wait a minute. That's ridiculous, Mr. Moody. The Automat wouldn't think of selling horse meat.
No. Then why was the whole place filled with them little perimutual windows?
What was your other close call?
I went into a French cave.
Yes?
I took one look at the menu and I run.
What made you think the French cave was, the French restaurant was, was selling, what made you think the French restaurant was selling horse meat?
Right on top of the menu?
Yes?
It said horses doobers. Hello, Bob.
Titus doesn't look like the hors d'oeuvre type to me, I guess. I wonder who lives next door now.
No.
Mrs. Nussbaum, did you have a nice vacation?
All summer I'm commuting with nature.
Uh-huh.
I'm writing poems, all kinds.
Writing poems, huh?
Why so tickle, little tickle?
A poem?
It's no joke to be an oak.
Oh, that sounds very good. Now, what about people eating horse meat?
I'm also writing a horse meat poem.
What is it called?
Without Remorse.
Without Remorse. How does it go?
I couldn't eat without remorse a horse. You could say, go eat the bear. I'm eating the bear. I wouldn't care. You could say, go eat the moose. I'm eating the moose. What a dude. But when you are saying, go eat a horse, I couldn't eat without remorse a horse. I couldn't bite a peaceful loamy, knowing the inside could be a pony. At the butcher's block, I couldn't dicker for a sirloin cut from mine friend Slicker. So down with eating horse meat. Alone I am fighting the trend. Being served up as a patro, is this an end for man's best friend? Thank you.
The alley.
Somebody, I say, somebody.
Now, look, Senator.
Claghorn, your name is Senator Claghorn.
Now, look, I know
I'm
you.
I'm from the South.
I know you're from
I'm from so far south, if I take one step backward, I'm a Mexican.
You and the South.
Now, I say the South is running the world, son.
The South?
Who's running England? One of the Robert E. Lee boys. Aunt Lee. Who's running Russia? Joe Stalin, a Georgia boy. And who's running China? China, I'll wait for the musicians. Who's running China? T.B. Sung.
T.B. Sung is from the South.
What do you think them initials stand for, son?
T.B.?
Tennessee Valley. And Tennessee's in the South.
But, Senator...
Well, speak up, son.
Well,
say
to...
what's on
well,
your
well,
mind.
I
you can talk. Talk. You ain't Hillary Wallace.
Senator, how does Washington feel about people eating horse meat?
I called for a committee this morning.
Good.
Paul Porter was in the house.
I see.
Porter house, that's a joke.
Now, wait a minute.
10 minutes, son, you're just slow to catch on. Subnormal, that is.
Now, wait a minute. You old fossil, what about people eating horse meat?
Down south, I say, down south, we eat anything we can overtake. Carry a piece of lemon with me. Never know when I might overtake a salmon.
Going up the sea. Now, tell me, what about horse meat up north?
Oh, you know it, son. Them Yankees will start eating each other.
Yankees? Yankees will eat each other?
If they'll eat horse meat, they'll eat jackass meat. Go on!
Like Senator Claghorn.
Now I know what they mean when they refer to the mouth of the Mississippi.
There's the ticker. It's more information on the Allen program.
More? How can he get all that in 15 minutes?
Allen's program runs a half an hour, H.B.
A half an hour? Then you and I have only 15 minutes for our broadcasts.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid it's so.
A whole half hour. I must do a broadcast soon on the remarkable stamina of the American radio listener.
Please, H.V., I'm reading this ticker.
Sorry.
Through a usually well-informed source, it was learned that on the first program, the sensational Five DeMarcos, accompanied by Al Goodman and his orchestra, will sing Blue Sky.
Hello? More music, I hope.
No, next there's a commercial.
Some solvent responsible firm allows its name to be identified with this sort of thing?
Yes, Alan's sponsor has Tenderleaf tea. Without fear of contradiction, Alan's announcer states, the year-round in all kinds of weather, the all-purpose... That's how the show goes, H.V. A brisk commercial. Some more of Mr. Goodman's music.
Confidentially, Law, I'm beginning to realize there's more to radio than I suspected.
Here's a late bulletin. It sounds momentous.
What else can happen? Are they going to make Alan queen for a day?
No. It says, Mr. Allen's feature presentation will be a tribute to medical science. It's the story of the latest triumph of modern men in white.
Forward, ever forward, treads the relentless march of medical science. At the 1946 medical convention, the delegates cheered as medicine's newest discoveries were listed. Penicillin, sulfur drugs, and vitamin B flats. Dr. Axel Svenholstein of Vienna arose and announced that after 20 years of research on the four-way cold tablet, he had added one more way. Dr. Hauserman of the bicarbonate clinic demonstrated his new cure for hiccups.
Who?
But as the men of science left the convention, they spoke of only one man, Dr. Mayor Pasteur Allen, the genius who performed the surgical miracle of our time. We bring you the story of Dr. Allen's great triumph. Operation, operation.
I am Dr. Mayo Pasteur Allen. My life has been dedicated to medical science. I began in Boston as a horse and buggy doctor. Ah, those were happy days. Doctoring horses and fixing buggies. Then came the turning point in my life on truth or consequences after being slugged with three custard pies. For being such a good sport, I was given a four-year scholarship at Johns Hopkins. After graduating, I interned in six Dr. Kildare pictures. Gradually, my name became known in medical circles. It was I who encouraged Nick Kenny's sister to become a nurse. Today, Sister Kenny is perhaps better known than Nick. Little did I suspect that I would perform the operation that would make me the toast of medical science. One morning, as I entered the hospital, over the amplifier I heard...
Dr. Allen wanted in surgery. Dr. Allen wanted in surgery.
Dr. Allen, I was wanted in surgery. Buffing my spatula and flexing my stethoscope, I opened the door of the operating room. The greatest surgeons of the country stood there. Their heads were bowed. Mingled with the formaldehyde, I detected suspense in the air. That grand old man, the Dean of American Medicine, rushed up to me. Grasping me by the metacarpus, he said,
Dr. Allen, Gad, my boy, you've come just in time.
Yes, Dr. Gillespie?
The patient is ready for surgery, and not one of these men has enough faith in his skill to attempt the operation.
Well, Doctor,
the future of medical science depends on the success of this operation. You alone can perform this operation. What do you say?
What do I say? I shall do it, Dr. Gillespie.
Good luck, Solomon.
Thank you, Doctor. I wasn't ready, but I was rushed into the ready room. Quickly, they prepared me for the delicate task ahead. Operation, operation. Nurses bustled about me.
Your apron, doctor.
Thank you.
Your rubber glove, doctor.
Thank you.
Your mask, doctor.
Thank you.
Your rabbit's foot, doctor.
Good. Hand me that can of ether. I am ready. They led me into the operating theater. The tension was frightening. In the galleries looking down on me were the keenest medical minds. Dr. IQ. Dr. Townsend. Dr. Pepper with his cap off. To assist me, I had chosen three surgeons, the greatest of our time. Dr. Gunther Gall of Cleveland, the great authority on athlete's foot. Dr. Felix Strum, the famed mad butcher of Baltimore. And Dr. Miles Pippo, the house physician at Belmont Park. As I nervously adjusted my sphygmomanometer, they pleaded.
You're mad, Dr. Allen. You've been surgery back 2,000 years. Give it up, Dr. Allen. There's still time.
I scoffed at them. I rolled up my sleeves, spit on my rubber gloves. And then the door slowly opened. Noiselessly, they wheeled in the operating table. And on that table, so still, so tiny, the patient. The lights blazed down on that still, white form. There was a hush. Then a nurse murmured in my ear,
"We're ready for you, Doc."
Beads of sweat were forming on my zygomatic process. As I advanced to the table, I concentrated, took a deep breath, and began. Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Forceps.
Forceps.
Sponge.
Sponge.
Brillo.
Brillo.
Mop.
Mop.
Yeah, he's removing the attenuata. He's cutting the trigonophilia.
Alan, stop before it's too late.
But I didn't stop. I extracted the quadrivalvus. The quadrivalvus. I extracted the elater, the ganglia. I closed the incision and then, and only then, did I step back exhausted. The operation was over. The gallery broke out in cheer.
A-L-L-E-N-I!
Medical giants pressed my hand. Others wept openly. I looked down on that still white form. The first cigarette in history that medical science had proved positive. I had removed everything. Here, finally, was a cigarette that wasn't a treat, a cigarette that wasn't a treatment, a cigarette that wasn't even a cigarette. This, then, is my story. South America, take it away.
How did you like that, H.V.? Wasn't that thrilling?
Lowell, old man, forgive me for saying so, but in my estimation, you're getting soft.
There's the picker again. The story is coming in. It's a message from the sponsor.
Well, we've been down Allen's Alley on our first tour of this...
HV, I guess that's the big news of the week. The Fred Allen Show comes back on the air tonight. A half hour of fun and music.
A whole half hour, and a sponsor pays for this.
He does. And I imagine good money, too.
I must say this taxes my credulity.
Why shouldn't it tax your credulity? Everything else is taxed.
If you will pardon an observation, that was extremely humorous.
Oh, H.V., it was nothing.
Nothing? Why, that was funnier than anything this Fred Allen said all night.
Oh, come, come, H.V.
And he gets big money for being not as funny as you, Lowell. It is a matter of public record that I'm not money mad. But when I see an easy dollar lying around...
H.V., are you thinking what I'm thinking?
What are we waiting for?
Now, I have a little amusing something here. I say to you, who's on first?
What?
Not what? Who's on first?
I'm asking you, who's on first?
And I'm telling you who. Who's on? Telling you who.
Ladies and gentlemen, 450 years ago yesterday, Christopher Columbus discovered America. 15 years ago today, America discovered a radio comedian, and here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And, Kenny, Columbus was certainly lucky that he arrived in America when he did.
How do you mean, Fred?
You sincere in that interrogation?
You really want to know?
Well, if Columbus tried to... Instead of to laugh before the joke, you don't take any chance. If Columbus tried to land today, Kenny, the dock strikers wouldn't even unload his boat. Imagine Columbus sailing up the harbor. The lookout, instead of shouting, "Land ho!" would yell, "C-I-ho!"
Well, didn't Columbus say that the world was flat, Fred?
Yes, Kenny, and the way things are going, Columbus may be right, yeah. If Columbus were alive today... if Columbus... I laugh at it. I mean, just to show you where it should have come. If Columbus were alive today, he would probably say... Well, pardon. Here we go. Portland, tell me, what is new this week?
Cigarettes have gone up again.
Say, I thought Mr. F.E. Boone sounded a little higher tonight. Do you think that raising cigarettes a cent will make any difference?
What's another cent to a camel?
Oh, how true. His sponsor sent that joke, and he had to tell it. I mean, what are you going to do? Tell me, have you any other hot items?
Mama's out of sugar.
Really? How does she sweeten her coffee?
Mama takes a mouthful of coffee.
Yes.
Then she thinks of the good old days.
The good old days, and?
A lump comes up in her throat.
Well, that's as close to sugar as anybody's getting, I think.
What are you using?
Well, I do manage to get a little sugar, Portland, thanks to a grateful fly.
A grateful fly?
Mm-hmm. You know, when times were good, every morning when I'd sit down to eat breakfast, a little fly would buzz around the table. He'd step into the sugar bowl and fly away with a few grains of sugar on his feet. Well, when times were good, I never even bothered him. And now that sugar is scarce, the fly comes back every morning. And when my coffee is ready, the fly lights and stamps his feet on the edge of my cup. That, Portland, is a grateful fly.
Shall we leave for Allen's Alley?
Also a dead fly. After that, I think services will be held for the marine inspection. I think we had better fly.
What is your question tonight?
Well, this past week, the president proclaimed to be Fire Prevention Week to caution people in an effort to reduce the nation's fire losses. And so our question tonight is, what did you do to observe Fire Prevention Week?
Shall we go?
Well, why not? Great to be back in Allen's Alley, Portland. This first house has a shamrock doormat and, look, green doorknobs. Let's see if Ajax Cassidy is in. Ah, Mr. Cassidy, how are you?
Ah, terrible.
What's wrong?
I'm not wrong for this one.
Well, tell me, what's your trouble?
Well, now, I tell you, I keep seeing spots before me eyes.
Well, that's nothing. Lots of people see spots.
Yes, but my spots fell out rest in peace.
Well, tell me, Mr. Cassidy, how do you feel about fire prevention?
Well, now, as an old fireman, I'm against it.
Against it, huh?
Fire prevention throws firemen out of work.
Well, tell me, what is the biggest fire you've ever been to?
Oh, that was the night the Shaughnessy Rubber Factory burned down.
The rubber factory?
Oh, yes. For 3 days, I was vulcanized to the ruins.
What?
Would you believe it? After they tried me loose, I had to get the back of my union suit re-credited.
Tell me, have you been to any big fires lately?
Well, it's not so hot around here. Well, it's a funny thing. A week ago, come Tuesday in the line of duty, I was called to a fire. That was a tremendous conflagration.
Well, what happened?
Well, I was asleep in my bunk.
Yes?
The alarm came in.
Well, where was the fire?
It was Grogan's Meat Market. Mice was offered thousands of pounds of meat, was roasting and cooking. But I crawled out of the firehouse to the meat market.
With your hook and ladder?
With me knife and fork. Good night.
Well, that takes care of Mr. Cassidy. I wonder if Titus Moody is in tonight.
Howdy, bud.
Well, Mr. Moody, you look rather depressed this evening.
If I was insured, I'd kill myself.
What's wrong?
You remember that big windstorm last week?
Yes.
It blew 200 eggs back into my hands.
Golly.
Blew my razorback hog into the forest.
Your razorback hog?
Yeah. Before he got dull, he cut down 28 trees.
Well, you sure have bad luck.
I ain't had a drop of milk for 2 weeks.
Well, why?
My cow's got amnesia.
God.
Yeah, I put a pail under my cow and pulled by the hour.
And you mean with her amnesia?
She forgets what she's supposed to do.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, what is your reaction to fire prevention?
Why, we used to have a fire engine in the village.
Yeah, what happened?
The night Stebbins' silo caught fire.
Yeah?
It was pitch dark.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't see what we were doing, so we pulled the engine close to the flames.
Yeah?
Fire engine caught fire. All we saved was the whistle tree.
Well, how do you put out fires now?
Why, when the alarm comes in?
Yes?
10 of us old men run to the fire with a ladder.
Good.
We climb up onto the roof of the burning building.
But how do you put out the fire?
You do. No longer.
Well, there's no drool like an old drool, I guess. Let's try this next door.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about fire prevention?
All week, day and night, I'm making up slogans.
Slogans? What are your slogans?
Put out your fire. Always remember, you could be forever ember.
Good.
Avoid to those who smoke in bed. Drop dead.
Very good, I must say.
Thank you. Also, I'm writing a poem.
A fire prevention poem? What is it called?
A warning.
A warning? How does it go?
Little Meyer played with fire. Did he know what he was doing? In a closet, he threw matches. Came a blaze with trouble brewing. Alarms are sounding, engines coming, firemen with squirting hose. The fire out, someone is asking, where is Meyer? No one knows. On the floor is seen a clinker, all remaining from the fire. The clinker has a little cap on. By this, we knew the clinker's Meyer. So from my story, take a warning. Face the fact. Don't be a shrinker. Have a care. Don't play with fire. Like Meyer, you could end that clinker, thank you.
That brings us to the last house in the alley. Let's try here.
Somebody, I say somebody knock.
Well,
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn.
Now, look, I know.
Talk up, son, my bindle's packed. I'm Alabama bound.
You're going?
I'm leaving for the South. I got to get the vote out, get folks to register.
Well, how do you...
I'm traveling through the South exhibiting a Republican in a revival tent. And on the Republican, I got a sign. It says, don't let this happen to you.
Now, tell me, does it look like a big vote this year?
It's going to be a whopper, son.
Good.
Even Chloe came back to register.
Chloe?
Years ago, she ran off with Philip Morris. Folks has been calling Chloe and Philip Morris ever since.
Well, Senator, tell me, what is the South doing about Fire Prevention Week?
The Gulf Stream is standing by, son.
The Gulf Stream, good.
I remember the biggest fire the South ever had.
Really?
200 miles of swampland blazing.
God.
To save the old mill at Natchez, we threw 600 pounds of cornmeal into the Mississippi.
Yes?
The swamp fires had that river water boiling.
Yes.
When the water cooled off...
Yes?
Land there in the Mississippi was a stick of corn pone 12 miles long.
Go on, Senator. Go on. Uh-huh. When Tony got out of the service, his recording of To Each His Own set a new high mark in sales. Portland, you haven't heard anything until you've heard Tony Martin sing my opera.
It has me intrigued.
Intrigued? Where did you ever get a word like that?
I heard it on Hildegard's program.
Oh, really?
It was the only English word she used.
Really? I always listen with an interpreter myself. I don't take any chances. But never mind Hildegard. I'm talking about Tony Martin.
How did you ever get Tony Martin to star in your opera?
Well, Portland, last Thursday I finished the score of my opera and started out for Tony's hotel. Room 64, 65, 65 and a half. This is Tony Martin's room, I guess.
Yes?
Is Mr. Martin in?
I'm Tony Martin.
Oh, really? Well, Tony, if you're busy...
No, come right in, Fred. I was just breaking up some new Sinatra records.
Yes, I want to break another one while we're waiting.
Fred, as soon as I tear up this picture of Perry Como.
Now, Tony, what have you got to worry about? Sinatra Records, Perry Como. Didn't I read that you just signed again with MGM?
That's right, Fred, and what a welcome they gave me.
MGM went the whole lion, hey?
Fred, there were hundreds of men outside of the studio gates, all carrying signs, walking up and down.
Fine.
Imagine going to all that trouble just to welcome me, the street singer's brother-in-law.
Gosh, Tony, you know, the last time I saw you, we made a picture together.
That's right, Fred. It's called Sally, Irene, and Mary.
You realize that that picture broke the popcorn record in St. Paul? More people went out to buy popcorn during the first two reels than any other picture that ever played St. Paul, including the horn blows at midnight.
Fred, I understand Sally, Irene, and Mary was the original version of the Big Sleep.
I heard that. They remade it. But since those days, you have come a long way, Tony.
And you've come a long way, too, Freddie.
Oh, I'm nothing, Tony, in radio. Just a half-hour filler to keep Charlie McCarthy from sneaking on the Manhattan merry-go-round. But that's why I'm here tonight, Tony. You have got to help me.
Well, if it's money, it won't take a minute to me to get my shoe off.
No, it isn't. Don't start unbuttoning them, Tony. It isn't money. I've written an opera based on Gilbert and Sullivan's Mikado.
Well, I've heard of the Hot Mikado and the Spring Mikado.
Well, my opera is the Radio Mikado. You'll be a sensation in it.
Do I sing the leading role?
And how you sing the leading role. Now, the opera opens in the office of a big advertising agency, Button, Burton, Bitten, and Bowles. The office at the opening is in an uproar. The president of the company, Bowser Button, has summoned his staff to the conference room. And as the curtain rises, the entire staff breaks into song.
If you want to know who we are, we're the brains of radio. We've built every radio star. We're all yes men, we never say no. We form your listening habits with our Costellos and our Abbots. Confidentially, we're no Babbitts. Yo ho, yo ho, we're the brains of radio.
Gentlemen, Button, Burton, Bitten, and Bowles is on the brink of bankruptcy. Now, F.A. Allen, the big soap tycoon, is our last chance. He's looking for a radio program. And I've got a star for Allen, the tin tonsil tenor Tony Martin. Are you in voice, Tony?
I love life and I love to live.
Yes, what tone, what timbre.
I love life.
Save it, boys, save it. Allen will be here any minute. Oh, here he is now. Come in. Ah, Mr. Allen. Gentlemen, this is Mr. F.A. Allen, the soap tycoon.
A wandering sponsor, I, my product always sold. With the dirtiest dirt, it will cope. It's 110% lye. On wash day, you should try it. It bubbles and cleans and rinses. And it doesn't taste bad on blinces. Housewives cannot deny it. It does everything, but nobody will buy it.
Now, wait a minute, F.A. With one of our radio programs, people will buy your soap.
I've got soap in every warehouse in Jersey, B.B. In every parking lot. Why, if it ever rains, Jersey will be lathered from Atlantic City to Weehawken. I'll need a big program.
I love life and I love to live.
What was that, B.B.? Did something crawl into the air conditioning?
Hey, that's your new star, Tony Martin, a great entertainer.
I don't want entertainment on my program. I just want commercials. 30 minutes of commercials.
Commercials, eh? You'll have the most sensational commercials in radio. We have the girls who sing them. Show F.A. girls.
Five little maids, so cute are we. We sing all day on NBC. We're doing well financially. Five little maids are we. We're five little maids whose voices mingle. We do every singing jingle. We can make our Frankie or their Bingo. We sing with all our might. We sing from morn till night. The other day, I heard a lady say, never put bananas in a refrigerator. No, 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 no. And big cola hit the spot. 12 ounces, that's a lot. In most every city, for girls who are pretty, the cute ones, the sweet ones, wear antlers. Elevator, 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 shoes. The finest guy that money can buy is. I like Kickless candy coated chewing gum. We're five people fingers, sweet and fair. We get into the listener's hair, but we get paid, so we don't care. Five little maids are we.
Those are the DeMarco sisters who sing the jingles on all the programs.
Not on my soap program.
Oh, but F.A., listen. If
someday, you... B.B., I'll take over radio, and you'll see some changes made.
But you'll abolish singing jingles?
I'll abolish a lot of things. I've got a little list here. The day that I take over, I'll clean up radio. I've got a little list. I've got a little list of things that upset listeners. I'll see that they all go, and they never will be missed. Oh, they never will be missed. There those mournful serial programs with their tragedy and strife, where someone's always dropping dead or always facing life. And those early morning comics who will surely drive you back, who pin orchids on old ladies and who put on women's hats. And those weddings on the radio where the bride is always kissed, they never will be missed. They never will be missed.
He's got them on his list. He's got them on his list. They never will be missed. They never will be missed.
Table discussions with their boring, dull debaters, and the housewives who are morons but yet win refrigerators, and those gruesome mystery programs with their terrifying plot. You hear three words of dialogue, the rest is shoot and shot, and those hillbilly ensembles who insist on playing Liszt, they never will be missed. Oh, they never will be missed.
He's got them on his list. He's got them on his list.
And they never will be missed. Well, gentlemen. Well,
gentlemen, it's obvious that you have no radio program for me here.
Pile of life and I...
Just a minute. Stop that audition, Martin.
Oh, please, Mr. Allen, give me a chance. I have talent, sir.
You have talent?
I've been on the radio for 17 years.
17 years? I've never heard you.
Nobody ever hears me. I'm always on summer replacement programs. Mine is a sad, sad story.
The program I'm on in the spring so long never lasts to be heard in the fall. All summer I sing like a bird, so songs that just never are heard, so and all winter I don't get a call. There's no sponsor that wants me at all. Oh, please, Mr. Allen, I'm a pitiful case. Just once let me sing with the snow in my face. I want a fall program, I want a fall program, not a program that starts in the spring.
He wants a fall program, he wants a fall program. Not a program that starts in the spring.
Martin's son, lad, you're hired. I'll build the biggest musical program ever heard in radio. We'll have 300 violins playing in Vienna, 200 trombones playing in Sweden, 900 oboes in New Zealand, 1,000 French horns in Marseille. All of this music will be piped into Radio City, where 600 bonded technicians will blend all of the sections into one massive world symphony.
And who will conduct, Toscanini?
Toscanini will turn the music, son. From the top of the Empire State Building, waving a neon baton 16 feet long, will be Guy Lombardo.
Sensation.
Wait a minute, Martin. I've just thought. It's all off. The music is out.
But why?
We've forgotten something. In all the excitement, there's one thing we forgot. Petrillo. 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 First, we must learn if we can or cannot from Petrillo. 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 If you want a musician to beat on a drum, or a trumpet to toot, or a banjo to strum, you can't do a single thing till you hear from Petrillo, Petrillo, Petrillo. Men, it's all off. I'm sorry, Tony Martin. I have, even though you are the street singer's brother-in-law, I have no program. Goodbye, B.B.
Wait, F.A., not like this.
No.
In times of crisis, we advertising executives always show our vision.
We do?
Right, gentlemen?
Right, B.B.
Gentlemen, what do we do when we need a program? When we have no music? When we have no talent? When we have nothing? What do we put on the radio?
A quiz program.
A quiz program, right, gentlemen. Alan Soap is saved.
Button, Burton, Bitten, and Bowles is saved.
Radio is saved.
If you want to know who we are, we're the brains of the radio biz. When we can't think of anything else, then we always put on a quiz.
The chef of cheese and tenderly tea back on the shelf, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Tony Martin for dropping in tonight. Next week, our guest will be Mr. Basil Rathbone. Thank you and good night.
Good night. Tony Martin, the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star, will soon be seen in Jerome Kern's Till the Clouds Roll By.